Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org. Rampant Referrals for MSPs, Part 5, Motivation Sabotage. If you'll recall, last time we finished by looking at some reasons why some MSPs can limit their referral flow in terms of sabotaging their service. To recap, we looked at overconfidence in unique selling propositions or USPs, overvaluing product over service, assuming one size fits all, believing that low price equals high value, over-reliance on technology, misjudging the impact of third-party suppliers, and the service is okay, but there's no wow factor. So in this section, we'll be looking at how clients' referral motivation can be sabotaged. And when I talk about the motivation to refer a potential client, this applies both internally and externally. Internally, the MSP and its staff need to have the motivation to ask people for referrals and do whatever it takes to get the referrals. I'm going to cover this kind of internal motivation within the section about communication and communication sabotage. Now, the other area where motivation occurs is the motivation for one of your clients or even one of your prospects to refer you, and that's what I'm going to be covering now. Now, this next bit might become a bit of a distraction, but rightly or wrongly, I'm going to review some schoolboy physics here in terms of Isaac Newton's three laws of motion. Number one, the first law, is the law of inertia. An object will remain at rest or in uniform motion in a straight line unless acted upon by an external force. This law describes inertia, i.e. the tendency of objects to resist changes in the state of motion. Number two, the second law, the law of acceleration. The acceleration of an object is directly proportional to the net force acting on it and inversely proportional to its mass. If you'll remember, the equation is force equals mass times acceleration. And Newton's third law is the law of action and reaction. And that's to say, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This means that whenever one object exerts a force on a second object, that second object exerts a force of equal magnitude and opposite direction on the first object. Now, in terms of marketing and behavioral psychology, motivation is pretty much at the heart of everything we do. Likening this to Newton's first law, someone will only do something if they're motivated to do so. Without a motive force of some kind, people will take no action. Or, to extend this further, if they're already doing something, such as smoking or gambling, for example, then it will typically require a motivation to make them stop, which of course could be a heart attack or a divorce or bankruptcy or whatever. And if there is a motive force, the greater that force is, the greater the action, by and large. To be clear, the resultant force has to be a net force, because we can have different forces pulling in different directions. So, for example, like an aeroplane accelerating into the sky, the forces pushing on it include the thrust to go forwards, the friction and the drag pushing it backwards, gravity pulling it downwards, and the lift of the wings pulling it upwards. The net sum of these forces decides whether the plane will soar away or stall and drop. The bigger the net force, the quicker the acceleration or rate of change of velocity. Now, back to humans, a small motive force could be an example of a child asking their parents for an ice cream. And the analogous friction needed to be overcome could be the cost of the ice cream or the length of the queue at the ice cream van. By contrast, a strong motive force could be holding a knife to someone's throat and demanding their wallet. Or if you were to put your hand into something very, very hot, like a fire or scalding water, the net force would be very strong indeed. Now, as seen from these examples, motivation can come from persuasion or coercion. In other words, people will do something either because they want to or because they have to. The law of action and reaction is also loosely applicable here. If you were to point a gun at someone's head to steal their property, then there will be a pretty significant reaction to that action somewhere along the line. Okay, so I think this is as far as I'm going to stretch this particular metaphor, but hopefully it gives a useful framework to work around. So in terms of prospects and clients feeling motivated to recommend you and your managed services, let's look at some of the forces and the frictions involved. Number one, ill-considered incentives. Firstly, we'll start with incentives. As an aside, I will be looking at incentivizing referrals in a later section because it's not simple and it's not clear-cut and deserves a section on its own. But for the purposes of mentioning it here, though, we can posit that either there may be sabotage if there are no incentives at all, or alternatively, any incentives that are in place are either insufficient or inappropriate. I'll leave it there for now because, like I say, some people can become offended by incentives, and in fact, if incentives aren't handled properly, they can become toxic and actually demotivating. So more about this in another section. Number two, friction. If you do have a referral system in place but it's onerous, then this can disincentivize people to make referrals. This is probably less likely for a managed service provider. Nonetheless, I have seen plenty of refer a friend type emails and follow-ups which then lead to a specialized contact form on a website that then goes on to ask too many questions and they can become bogged down with irrelevant and annoying nonsense that people simply don't want to fill in. So remembering Newton's laws of motion, it's important to reduce friction as much as possible to make your referral process just take a few seconds and nothing more. If it has to be more complicated, at the very least, make it a multiple step process that captures the very basics first, so that if the referrer does abandon the process halfway through, at least you've captured the basic information on which you can act on later. Number three, clients don't want to lose a secret resource. Now, this is an interesting issue because it sometimes happens to businesses where their clients perceive that their supplier has constrained resources, meaning that they might be disinclined to pass more client referrals across to them. And it has happened to me in a different life regarding some coding work that we were involved with. The coder had some high net worth individuals as clients who were clearly very happy with his work, but they became very upset with me when I recommended his services to other businesses. In fact, I got into a lot of trouble over that. I was doing him a favour. However, thinking about it from their perspective, from the client's perspective, they thought that their supplier was being jeopardised because they thought the coder would start charging higher fees or become less available or less responsive, and basically they felt that their hold over him would be diminished. And it's a little bit toxic really, however it definitely is a factor that you might want to consider and mitigate in terms of communicating your capacity and reassuring scalability and honouring any relationships that you have. Again, we'll have to go deeper into that in another session. The next one is social risk. This is a big one. Obviously, when someone refers a supplier to someone, they carry the social risk that if the referral goes wrong, it will reflect poorly on them. Now, this particular concern might be because they've had problems with other suppliers in the past, or they might have even had problems with you, or they might have had great service from you, but they've seen some negative reviews online somewhere, which has demotivated them to pass on referrals. Social risks need to be mitigated, again, with reassurances, such as appropriate allocation of resources, and risk reversal, such as guarantees. But to be effective, these measures must be communicated comprehensively so that anyone would feel reassured to refer you. The next one is lack of trust. Now, once again, someone might get good service from you, but perhaps there's just a lack of trust. Not that you're doing anything wrong necessarily or that you're untrustworthy, but it's just that they simply don't know you. And any lack of connection or transparency can translate into making things harder to build up trust. Remember back to what I said about being in the people business. You might deliver a great service, but that alone isn't enough. You need to ensure that your clients like, know, and trust you. And that requires investing time and energy into humanizing your relationships and forging bonds with your clients. Lack of wow. Now, I'm going to say it once again in this section about motivation, in that people might not feel excited enough to discuss your services to become motivated to refer you. One way around this is to make people look good and feel good. So again, let's return to what I said about ensuring that you have appropriate incentives in place. For one MSP I worked with, their main referrer said that they would be completely unimpressed with a proposed £100 payment for a referral. And that was because the person we were speaking to was the business owner. And to them, £100 would be seen as a little derisory in the first place. But their main concern was that they didn't want their own clients to have any grounds for thinking that any advice they were given about suppliers were given due to any financial incentives. So in this case, financial incentives would very easily damage their trust. However, the staff of that particular company were very different. To them, an extra £100 for each referral at the end of their month in their paycheck was very welcome indeed and was very motivational for them. Back to the business owner, he was much, much more incentivized by personalized gratuities such as flowers and chocolates and even wine that he could share with his clients. And when you think about that, people in general are unlikely to mention to their clients that they've just had a backhander of some money. But however, if there's a beautiful bunch of flowers suddenly adorning their office, people are going to notice that and they're likely to comment on it. And those little discussions are exactly what you want. So remember, half the battle is to make people look good and make people feel good. As a quick reminder before we finish, we'll cover wow moments and incentives in another session. But for next time, we'll be looking at how MSPs can sabotage their referral flow with poor personality. Growing and selling your MSP business is easier than you think with MKLink. We've been helping businesses like yours since 1998. For loads more resources, downloads, MSP sales listings, and marketing content that you can use for your own MSP business, register for free now at mklink.org.